Plot thickens in the ongoing survival saga of Lehman Brothers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The country's struggling fourth largest investment bank is getting the message that it better shop around for a buyer and do it fast before it loses any more value. Sources are quoted in several published reports today as saying Lehman Brothers has formally put itself up for sale. And there's lots of speculation that Bank of America is most likely to be playing the role of White Knight again. Lehman's plunging share price reportedly has prompted intensive talks with U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve officials about rescue options. And that's lifting expectations that a deal could be completed as soon as this weekend. Lehman's Frankfurt-listed stock actually jumped 15% this morning amid all this talk. In fact, European stocks in general appear to have lanced the boil that's been bugging the markets this week. London's FTSE and the Paris CAC 40 are both up more than 1% this hour. Frankfurt's DAX is 0.5% higher. Tokyo's Nikkei gained almost 1%. And the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 were all up over 1.3% yesterday. Back to where this all started, home foreclosures. They hit a new record in August, according to a report from RealtyTrack, but the good news is they increased at a slower rate in the last few months. The FDA is warning consumers against buying Chinese-made baby formula at ethnic markets. Tainted infant formula has been linked to the death of one baby in China. Dozens of others are hospitalized with severe kidney ailments. Chinese formula is not approved to be sold in the U.S., but the FDA wants Americans to keep watch out in case it turns up illegally. From Shanghai Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
China's top baby formula company says it found the chemical melamine in its product. Melamine is found in pesticide, and it acts as a fake protein in food testing. The same substance turned up last year in Chinese-exported pet food that killed American dogs and cats. The formula company is called Sanlu, and today an official blamed the crisis on, quote, evil dairy suppliers for providing tainted milk. For now, the scare is in China. But Sean Ryan of China Market Research says the reputation of every Chinese export is once again on the line.
It could transfer not just into the baby formula sector, but also seafood, toys, and other items that are exporting from China. So it's a real issue here.
Beijing has issued a nationwide recall and probe, and it warned violators would face serious punishment. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Today is the final day of Fashion Week in New York. The stylistas around here at Marketplace tell me that purple is the in color this fall. But it's green that's pushing sales at Fashion Week, a rather pale green. From New York, Sally Herships reports.
The U.S. dollar looks a little washed out these days. That may be a blow to American national pride, but Arnold Carr of Women's Wear Daily says it could be good for U.S. designers' bottom lines.
American goods do become more affordable to European buyers and, you know, buyers in other markets that have seen their currencies strengthen against the dollar.
Designers could sell more clothes as overseas shoppers take advantage of exchange rates, says Mary Ellen Gordon of Glamour magazine. But, she says, many American collections are produced in Europe and Asia, so the clothes are getting more expensive to make.
So it's not as though they should be running around, you know, throwing parties thinking they're millionaires suddenly because they've got bigger orders from existing retail customers, or perhaps they have orders for the first time from some stores in Europe or Asia that they had never dealt with before.
Gordon says smart designers are taking the global economy's measurements and preparing for the effects of a slowdown on the fashion business. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
From the panhandler on the street to the worker hitting up the boss for a raise, it's not as easy begging green. These days, raising needed funds is proving to be especially difficult overseas. Many British nonprofits are finding themselves without their usual sources for money, partly due to cultural reasons. The Tate Modern in London, for example, recently unveiled designs for a new gallery without the money to build it. As Christopher Worth reports, the British are finding out that raising cash is more of an art form on this side of the Atlantic.
On a recent evening, nearly 50 fundraisers gathered in London to discuss how to tap into all that money that's floating around in the city's financial service industry. And the conversation, inevitably, turns to one question. Why are the Americans so good at getting others to open their wallets? Moira Doyle is with Richmond Associates, a recruiting firm for fundraisers. She says that with big cuts in public funding, the equation for raising money has changed.
Fundraising, and particularly corporate sponsorship, used to be seen as the icing on the cake, and it now really is the cake.
Doyle says her clients want Americans and Canadians because they know how to ask for money. Her firm has recruited 80 in Britain in the past 5 years, with nearly half of those just in the last 24 months. The British may speak the same language, but it's not just the accent that's different.
I think British people do find it more difficult to ask for money than Americans. And sometimes British people prefer someone to be straightforward and ask them. Whereas if a Brit's asking a Brit, it may go on forever.
Shannon Callahan is one of those straight-shooting Americans. She moved to London a couple of years ago and is now the head of major giving at the Kew Foundation, part of Britain's Royal Botanical Gardens.
For the British, it's generally distasteful to talk about money. But an American can get away with it because, well, the British just assume we don't know any better. There's sort of a rolling of the eyes, like, oh, she's American.
But there are some divides that the brash American sensibility just can't do anything about. Europe doesn't offer the same tax incentives for charitable giving. In the U.S., donating money is a write-off for the donor. But as Callahan points out,
in this country, the charity receives the benefit.
Tax laws can also vary from country to country, making cross-border giving another hurdle. In some cases, tax rates can climb up to 90%, although the European Union has been putting pressure on member states to smooth out those differences. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Marketplace.org is our website. We're always interested in your feedback, and thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.